Good afternoon, 4:30 and 53 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Sean Delaney.
I've seen more than my fair share as I volunteer in a recovery center. I've seen more people die than I ever want to see die.
Laura Parrish's son died of a drug overdose last year. Now she wants Kentucky schools to provide drug abuse education.
A Portsmouth woman faces up to 20 years in prison on a weapons charge.
And Moorhead City Council gives final approval to a TIF district downtown.
In sports, there's a border war at Rupp Arena tonight as the UK Wildcats take on Tennessee.
But Luke has the business news.
Mostly cloudy this evening, lows in the mid-30s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
A 37-year-old Portsmouth woman has pleaded guilty to federal charges for illegally possessing a gun and using it to obstruct a deputy U.S. Marshal in West Virginia. According to a plea agreement, Peggy Chafin could face 10 years in prison on the first count and 20 years on the second, and has agreed to cooperate with authorities. Chafin admitted having a .22-caliber rifle despite a previous felony conviction for heroin possession in Kentucky in 2013. She also admitted using the gun to obstruct the deputy marshal in Orlando, West Virginia, in November 2015.
The Senate Budget Committee today puts its stamp of approval on a bill that would restore felony status to the offense of a first-time trafficking in heroin or fentanyl. Republican Christian McDaniel chairs the panel. Even though the legislation could end up costing taxpayers $3 million or more, McDaniel says it's still a good idea.
The cost to the Commonwealth of an addict is absolutely tremendous. And if we're clamping down on the supply line of heroin, I have no doubt. I'm based off of the fiscal note numbers, I know it's indeterminable, but I'm seeing in the range of $3 million. All we got to do is have four people across the Commonwealth who don't end up with Hep C or HIV to more than offset the cost of this.
The legislation is sponsored by State Senator John Schnickel of Boone County, who says the heroin scourge has ravaged his community. The General Assembly eased the penalties for first-time offenders about 6 years ago in the hopes to reducing Kentucky's prison population.
A mother who lost her son to a drug overdose last year told the House Education Committee today that there should be a comprehensive prescription opioid abuse prevention program in Kentucky schools. Laura Parrish is from Lawrenceburg, and her son Nick died of a heroin overdose in April 2016.
My son started out on pain pills when he was in high school. It was experimental. It was something that a parent had in their home. It quickly went from that into other things as the pain pills became less available to him. He was in and out of treatments. I don't know that an education program would have saved his life, but I know it would have at least given him a fair chance.
Parrish was testifying in support of a bill sponsored by State Representative James Tipton. His proposal calls for the Kentucky School Board to work with the Office of Drug Control Policy to develop a program that underscores the connection between opioid abuse and addiction to other drugs. The Education Committee has recommended approval of the bill to the full House.
There should be K-12 substance abuse education in all Ohio schools. That's a recommendation of a study committee appointed last August by both chambers of the state legislature and Ohio Attorney General Mike DeWine. DeWine says it's not a mandate, but it's clear that age-appropriate instruction on the dangers of drug abuse needs to be intense from start to finish.
This is not telling every school you have to do A, B, C. I think these are best practices. We would hope that every school in the state, whether a private school, charter school, parochial school, public school, whatever they are, wherever kids are going, we would hope that each one of these communities would look at this and say, here's what we need to do to get in front of it.
DeWine says the old strategies of dealing with the problem have not been effective enough. He says 8 Ohioans are dying from a drug overdose every day.
Kentuckians would have an alternate route to achieving a high school equivalency diploma under a bill endorsed today by the House Education Committee. The legislation would allow the Kentucky Adult Education Program to work with a community and technical college system on a plan to enable students to get a GED by passing four KCTS courses. Reese Stagnolio is Vice President for Adult Education with the Council on Post-Secondary Education.
We're still working with Chancellor Tracy at KCTCS in the identification of those four courses. 12 credit hours that would demonstrate that an individual has the skills and competencies in four content areas that are aligned with the same content areas as the GED: science, social studies, English language arts, and mathematics.
Stagnolia says enrolling in courses at a community college might also encourage students to pursue a degree after achieving their GED.
Morehead State University plans to hire a design firm in April to put together a new campus residence hall master plan. According to MSU Assistant Vice President for Facilities, Rick Linio, the school will soon be accepting bids from companies hoping to get the job of adding to the last master plan, which was done 11 years ago.
It's kind of taking what we did in 2006 and refreshing that, but probably some more depth. How do we renovate fields? And, do we look at developing some Greek housing somewhere and things of that nature? So those type of questions that we're trying to get answered.
Linio says determinations must also be made about the futures of three aging dorms on the MSU campus, Cartmel, Butler, and Cooper Halls. The last campus residence hall master plan focused on renovations at the Menon Complex and Alumni Tower and the building of a 550-bed Andrews Hall and two dormitories at the University Farm.
Kentucky State University faculty and alumni are expressing concern with the list of finalists for university president, and that interim university president Aaron Thompson is not among them. Media outlets report that the KSU Board of Regents voted to approve three finalists for the job. M. Christopher Brown of Southern University in Louisiana, Sed Sewell of Lincoln University in Missouri, and Oklahoma Supreme Court Justice Thomas Colbert. Left off the list was Thompson, who State Representative Derek Graham says applied for the job with significant support after financial problems almost closed the school down. Thompson has been the interim president since May.
The University of Louisville's new interim president says there's been no indication from an accrediting agency that the legislature's actions have worsened the school's situation as it tries to pull itself out of probation. Greg Postel told reporters today that his roles include making sure the school responds, quote, in every way possible, unquote, to concerns raised by U of L's accrediting body, which placed the school on probation for 1 year. Postel pledged the university will make accreditation-related documents available to campus and media.
Morehead City Council has given the final okay to a statute that creates an inter-local panel responsible for overseeing a downtown tax incremental financing district. Mayor Jim Tom Trent says the Rowan County Fiscal Court is expected to put its final stamp of approval on the matter next week. Trent says the next move is for the city and the county to put together legislation that would designate a part of Morehead's downtown as a TIF district.
There's a statutory process you have to go through. And what we did was we went and took it and outlined it, sent that in, got that approved. Then we had to have the group that's going to handle the money locally. We got that approved, and then we go on from there. And it's my understanding, Tony Pence and Dan Markwell and a couple other folks have worked really hard on this for us, that they can go ahead and start letting people know, hey, now that's an incentive we have here in Morehead.
Cities use TIF districts to attract developers who get special tax breaks. State tax incentives may also be handed out should a certain amount of projects be undertaken inside the TIF district. That figure in Morehead would be set at $20 million.
Morehead City Council approved the creation of a dog park during yesterday's meeting. Councilman Glenn Teeger says the project will cost about $7,000 and is being managed by the Morehead-Rowan County Chamber of Commerce Leadership Academy.
They'll do a lot of the labor themselves, but it's predominantly for fencing, obviously. That's the main thing. My understanding is that they're going to set it up in two sections for small dogs and large dogs and have seating areas and water troughs, and it should be nice.
Teeger says the park will be established in a 100-by-100-foot undeveloped area near the old Morehead City Pool. Work is expected to begin late this spring. The park will include areas for small and large dogs, water troughs, and seating benches, The cost of the project may be covered in part by grants and fundraising.
The Kentucky House Transportation Committee this afternoon approved a bill requiring bicycle riders and their passengers who are under the age of 12 to wear helmets. The legislation is called TJ's Law, and it is named after a Prospect boy who suffered a severe brain injury in a 2010 accident. The youth's mother is Heather Floyd, who testified before the panel.
He wrecked into his brother without a helmet. I went to sleep, as I call it, and wouldn't wake up and went into emergency open brain surgery. It was very severe, brought a chaplain in. They weren't sure he would live. He did. However, there were a lot of long-term life-altering effects that he will deal with for the rest of his life, as will our family.
Floyd says she hopes the bill protects other children from similar accidents.
Kentucky motorists would be required to carry minimum liability coverage of $25,000 for property damage from vehicle accidents under legislation that cleared the Senate Banking and Insurance Committee this afternoon. The sponsor of the bill is Republican Senator Rick Gerlder of Somerset. He says the current minimum is $10,000 and raising it would not change a driver's premium very much.
About $4 more, and that's probably by the year. I figured one before I came over here today. It was $1.35 more a quarter. So, therefore, I don't think it would price it out of it and be people more uninsured.
Gerlder says $10,000 has been Kentucky's minimum coverage since the 1970s, and it's just not enough for the more expensive vehicles on the road today.
Construction will begin this week at the Greenup Locks and Dam and will affect traffic moving along Kentucky 10 and Greenup. Kentucky Transportation Cabinet spokesman Alan Blair says because of the project, one-lane traffic across the Jesse Stuart Bridge will start on Thursday.
The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is doing some work on the Greenup Locks, and as part of that, the bridge traffic for Kentucky 10 will be impacted, so contractors will be setting up temporary traffic signals to make a portion of that bridge one lane for the next couple of weeks.
Blair notes motorists may seek alternative routes between Ohio and Kentucky using bridges at Ashland, Russell, or Portsmouth, Ohio to prevent wait time.
With no money for full-scale repaving operations, Carter Judge Executive Mike Ballone believes the county now has a way to extend the life to its asphalt highways. Ballone says the county last August spent $57,000 to purchase a hot mix pothole filling machine.
It has a heated asphalt tank on it, and it mixes the gravel with the asphalt just as it gets ready to be put down on the road, and we roll it after we do that, and it's a whole lot better than the prepackaged pothole patches and so on like that, because the pothole, the stuff's coming out at about 300 degrees, and it bonds a whole lot better.
Over time, Malone believes the hot mix pothole filling machine will more than pay for itself. According to the judge, the device involves a tank that sits on a trailer. It can be pulled up by a dump truck and takes five workers to operate.
And finally, this afternoon, a model railway in Ashland is getting a new layout, and officials are seeking volunteers to help move it. MSPR's Victoria Agee has that story.
According to the Daily Independent, the Paramount Arts Center's Festival of Trees and Trains is relocating its main attraction. The Wonderland Railway is going to be moved from the Kiowa Mall to Our Lady of Belafonte Hospital's pavilion until November, when the festival begins. Volunteers are now being asked to help with this Saturday's move. Volunteers don't have to be train enthusiasts, says project leader Christy Reeves. They're looking for carpenters as well as assistants with the construction of a new semi-automated platform. Helpers and vehicles are needed between 10 and 5. For more information, contact Reeves at 606-831-1714. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio, I'm Victoria Agee.
Taking a look at the weather forecast in the MSPR listening area, including the cities of Moorhead, Ashland, and Grayson. Tonight we should have mostly cloudy skies with a slight chance of rain, a chance of rain near dawn, lows in the upper 30s, chance of rain at 30%. Later on tomorrow we should have partly sunny skies, highs in the lower 40s. Tomorrow night we should have partly cloudy skies with lows in the mid-20s. Thursday should have partly sunny skies, highs in the mid-40s. Thursday night you should expect partly cloudy skies, lows in the lower 30s. On Friday we should have mostly sunny skies, highs in the upper 50s. And Friday night we should have mostly clear skies with lows in the lower 40s. Right now in Ashland, it's 53 degrees, 52 degrees in Flemingsburg, 51 degrees in Inez, Lexington is 53 degrees, Winchester is 52 degrees, and it's 53 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
4:45, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It is great to have you along on this Tuesday afternoon. On our feature segment, charitable organizations, including those which feed the hungry, want you to check off boxes on line 33 of your state income tax return this year. Greg Stottlemyre explains why.
Charitable organizations, including those which feed the hungry, want you to check off boxes on line 33 of your state income tax return. The nine checkoffs are ways Kentucky taxpayers could donate directly to causes that help children, veterans, rape victims, and cancer research, among others. For example, if you send some of your tax refund to the Farms to Food Banks Trust Fund, the donation will help the state's network of food banks purchase surplus produce. Gary Miles is with Feeding America Kentucky's Heartland, which distributes produce to 42 counties.
One in six Kentuckians are food insecure, or they're not always sure where their next meal is going to come from. So we all want to find a good, easy way to be able to help the less fortunate out. This is the perfect way.
Grants from the Farms to Food Banks Trust Fund allowed the Kentucky Association of Food Banks to distribute more than 2.5 million pounds of Kentucky produce last year, enough for more than 4 million meals. Nearly $29,000 of that money came from tax refunds. Miles says the beauty of the program is that it helps clients of the network of 800 feeding programs to obtain good quality produce from Kentucky farms, something the hungry often can't afford to buy at the grocery store.
Squash, green beans, watermelons, potatoes, you name it, we get it. They're elated when they get this produce to round out their nutritional value of the meals that they get.
I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
4:47, you're in tune with Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. The latest national and international news is coming up on All Things Considered at 5 o'clock this afternoon, right here on MSPR. And Braxton has a check of sports right after we take this time out.
Support for MSPR is provided by Downtown Morehead Incorporated, presenting the 12th Annual Morehead Antique Market Saturday and Sunday, March 4th and 5th at the Morehead Conference Center. Antiques, collectibles, heirlooms, glassware, jewelry, and more. Presented by Downtown Morehead Incorporated, the 12th Annual Morehead Antique Market at the Morehead Conference Center. Saturday, March 4th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday, March 5th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. More information on Facebook under Downtown Morehead.
The Cats welcome the volunteers. Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. Kentucky will be out for a measure of revenge tonight at 7 when the 13th-ranked Wildcats face Tennessee at Rupp Arena. It was the Vols' 82-80 win over UK back on January 24th in Knoxville that kicked off the Cats' series of stumbles. However, Coach John Calipari says he's got bigger issues to worry about than avenging that loss. Cal is working with his players to shore up things like their half-court offense and their defense as they prepare for postseason play.
What I'm encouraged about is down the line, where this team should be here in a couple more weeks. And that's, you know, they want to do it. They're trying. And, you know, good group of kids that, you know, do some things that I shake my head at.
Tennessee is just 14-11 this season and 6-6 in the SEC. However, the Vols have won 5 of their last 8 conference games. The Morehead State women's basketball coach Greg Todd wants his team looking ahead, not forward. Not back, however. With the Eagles hosting Tennessee State tomorrow at 6, Todd says they can't afford to dwell on last Saturday's disappointing 65-58 loss at Eastern Kentucky.
Conference play, I think every game has a different story, and we have to go back to the drawing board and get ready for a competitive, tough Tennessee State team.
TSU handed the Morehead women a 69-66 loss in Nashville last month. The Eagles will be out to improve on their 18-7 overall record and 8-4 league mark tomorrow against the Lady Tigers. The Morehead State men's basketball team is preparing to take on Tennessee State on Thursday. Now at 13-12 on the year, the Eagles have won 10 of their last 13 games, including 4 in a row. Interim head coach Preston Spradlin gives a lot of credit to his team's bench for the recent success.
It's just so much credit to those guys. You know, it's tough sometimes to sit over there and you're not one of those guys that get your names called at the beginning of the game. But I don't think our team cares about that. They just care about winning and doing whatever it takes to help this team. So if they're open, they're going to knock down a shot. If they get it, they're going to be aggressive with them. They're going to make a play for the next guy, and that's what makes them very special.
Tennessee State is 15-11 on the year. MSU won the matchup with State last month at Johnson Arena, 87-85. The Ryan County boys basketball team will put its 8-game winning streak on the line tonight at 7:30 when the Vikings entertain Greenup County. Ryan coach Sean Thacker expects his squad to be tested by the 18-9 Musketeers, who are led by Gage Hughes and Michael Hubert, who are combining to score an average of 52 points a game.
They're really good. They got two really good scores, so it's going to be a big challenge for us defensively, and it'll be it'll be a game that'll be high paced. A lot of our kids we'll like that, getting up and down.
At 22-6, the Vikings have the 16th region's second-best record. Wes Carter is 22-5. Some notes from around the NBA. The Toronto Raptors have traded Terrence Ross and a first-round draft pick to the Orlando Magic for Serge Ibaka. Cleveland forward Kevin Love will miss the next 6 weeks after having knee surgery today. And the league announced it has signed a deal with Gatorade to change the name of the Developmental League to the NBA Gatorade League. The Morehead State Baseball Eagles are just a few days away from their 2017 season opener. They face Jacksonville in Jackson, Mississippi on Friday at 5 p.m. Coach Mike McGuire believes MSU will improve on last season's 32-17 finish.
We were a really young team a year ago as I started four freshmen every day. Didn't have a senior position player starter. Whereas this year, we'll return 8 starters. You know, those guys had good years. We've brought some new guys in that are certainly going to push for time and going to see opportunity in time. But it's nice having that good nucleus coming back.
The Eagles will also try to improve their road record this spring. They went just 10-20 away from Allen Field in 2016. With Sunday's trade of veteran Brandon Phillips to the Atlanta Braves, Cincinnati Reds general manager Dick Williams remains confident his ball club still has plenty of options when it comes to its middle infield positions. Williams expects Zach Cozart, Jose Pereza, and Dilson Herrera to get most of the time this summer at those positions.
Yeah, we've got other guys as well. Alcantara is going to get some time in the middle infield. We've got some non-rostered guys like Zach Vinci, the Gold Glove winner in the minor leagues last year at shortstop, and some other guys will give some reps to Tony Rendo. We've seen play some middle infield. But this definitely gives those three that you mentioned the bulk of the time at second and short.
The Reds pitchers and catchers began reporting to the team's spring training base in Goodyear, Arizona, yesterday. Finally in sports, Morehead State football coach Rob Tenure is pleased he's adding an experienced coach like Gene Peterson to his staff. Peterson, who recently quit as Round County High School head football coach after one season, also once headed the grid programs at Fleming County and Kentucky Christian University. Tenure says Peterson can help him in several key areas.
Recruiting, coaching, all the things that are important to, progression in your program. And so I think he's a great guy. I think he's got a great temperament. He's a really, really quality person, and we're excited to have him.
Peterson will coach the Eagles running backs. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Women's basketball welcomes Tennessee State tomorrow night at 6 p.m. The next home for men's basketball game is Thursday, February 23rd, when they host Tennessee Tech for a 9 o'clock p.m. tip-off. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. equities closed higher, posting new record highs as investors digested testimony from the top Federal Reserve official. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 92.25, closing at 20,504.41. The S&P 500 was up 9.33 at 2337.58. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 18.62 at 5782.57. And, of course, this was a record closing high for all three of the major indices. Fed Chairman Janet Yellen said in prepared remarks in Congress that waiting too long to raise interest rates would be, quote, unwise given the rise in inflation and economic growth, and U.S. Treasury yields ticked higher following her remarks, with the benchmark 10-year yield trading around 2.47% and the 2-year note yield trading up to 1.24%. Market expectations for a rate hike next month have now risen to 23% from 16%. This came following the Fed Chair's remarks. In economic news, the NFIB Small Business Index, which measures small business confidence, hit 105.9, and this is the best reading since December 2004. In the commodities markets today, oil is up 0.4%, while gold is up 0.1%. And among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were J.P. Morgan and Merck, and your worst performers were Chevron and Verizon. In the S&P 500, the best performers were General Motors and Endo International, and the worst performers were Fluor Systems and Scana. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 17 cents at 120.47, CSX up 9 cents at 48, AEP down 53 cents at 63.26, AK Steel down 20 cents at 8.56, Marathon Petroleum up $1.03 at 50.95, and Kroger was down 15 cents to finish at 33.06. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Moorhead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday, catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
Taking one last look at the weather forecast in the MSPR listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Tonight we should have mostly cloudy skies with a slight chance of rain. A chance of rain near dawn, lows in the upper 30s, chance of rain should be at 30%. Later on tomorrow we'll have partly sunny skies, highs in the upper 40s. Tomorrow night we should have partly cloudy skies with lows in the mid-20s. On Thursday we should have partly sunny skies, highs in the mid-40s. Thursday night should have partly cloudy skies, lows in the lower 30s. On Friday, we should have mostly sunny skies, highs in the upper 50s. Friday night should be mostly clear, lows in the lower 40s. On Saturday, we should have mostly sunny skies, highs in the mid-60s. And on Saturday night, we should have mostly cloudy skies, a 30% chance of rain showers, lows in the lower 40s. Right now, in Ashland, it's 53 degrees. Flemingsburg is 52 degrees. In Inez, it's 51 degrees. Lexington is 53 degrees. Winchester is 52 degrees. And on the campus of Moorhead State University, it's 53 degrees.
And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had assistance from Chuck Moraz, Nathan Gutierrez, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howe, Jacob Lindberg, Xavier Atkins, Tilden Johnson, Victoria Agee, and from the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyre. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202 BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Sean Delaney and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. ATC is next. It's 5 o'clock.